you come along to the Joint Churches Harvest Celebration at Manifield tonight, you'll see a famous clip from a famous film. The film is called The Witness, and the clip is simply known as the barn-raising scene. It's a beautifully filmed and emotionally moving scene as members of a tightly knit Christian community known as the Amish build a barn as a wedding gift for two of their own, a young couple setting out on their life together. It's a glimpse, it's a beautiful scene, and it's a glimpse of what the psalmist sung in praise of, how good it is, how wonderful when God's people live together in harmony. But that text and that film clip stand in sharp contrast to the bleak bluntness of the parable Jesus once told about a different barn and its different builder, the one that Norma read for us today. Of a wealthy, successful, prosperous farmer who builds a bigger barn, which of course proclaims his wealth and standing in the local community. The way Jesus tells it, it's clear that his wealth and possessions were built purely for his own pleasure and continued accumulation of wealth. "You fool," says Jesus, as he tells this uncomfortable tale. "This very night, you have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you've kept to yourself?" Jesus had set the scene for that extremely brief and blunt parable by saying, a person's true life is not made up of the things he owns, no matter how rich he may be. Your true life, says Jesus, your authentic life, is defined not by what you've got, but what you do with what you've got. And our stewardship program is called Forward in Faith. It's a positive title for a very positive moment in our life. A moment when our church is busy and strong in many ways. A moment when our parish is growing, despite genuine uncertainties and insecurities in the oil-related jobs market. A moment when, as we have said before, people are wary of organized religion, but are open and hungry for a spiritual understanding of life, and churches at their best are nothing less than spiritual communities. And in order to continue to do what we do, to offer, for instance, this setting and our Kirk Centre as a meeting and gathering place, to reach out to youngsters and incoming families through our youth and families worker, to meet our obligations to the National Kirk, of which we are a proud part, to meet and worship as we do this morning, we have to make sure to do all these things. We have to make sure that our housekeeping, our budget, is able to rise to those challenges. And the uncomfortable but Christ-rooted truth is that as an economic model, your average kirk is a miracle, standing tall against the gales of indifference and greed disguised as pragmatism, standing against all odds. Because if you think about it, it took me decades to crack this. I don't know why, but we don't buy anything and then sell it on at a 20% markup. We don't trade in order to make a profit and then pay a dividend to rapacious shareholders. Economically, as a church, we're on a different planet. We depend utterly, utterly on the donations of well-wishers, philanthropists, and most of all, disciples who want to say thank you to God for the gift of Jesus, the gift of faith, the gift of grace. Now, pause there and come to the same theme from a rather different angle. One of the things you may not know about me, but at this stage in life, it's probably okay for you to know, is that I like Barbara Streisand. Have done for decades. To admit to liking Barbara Streisand these days is apparently to sign up for a lot of things which, frankly, I'm never going to sign up for. But as an actress, as an old-fashioned diva, and above all as a singer, she's in a class of her own. And one film in particular, which is old now, I know, but there are some standout musical moments in Hello, Dolly, as Dolly Levi woos a curmudgeonly Horace Vandergelder, but it's a fast-paced, razor-sharp and witty conversation over a chicken dinner rather than a standout musical number that I want to focus on at the moment. Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering what this has got to do with our faith, of course Jesus would have liked Barbra Streisand movies. Jewish, you know, it's God's. And in the film, Horace Vandergelder finally begins to succumb and surrender to Dolly's relentless onslaught of sexual charm and machine gun speed monologue. And he says at one stage, "Dolly, I've always thought that money is a bit like manure. It's not worth a thing unless it's spread around, encouraging things to grow." It's not the most romantic chat-up line in history, but it's true nevertheless. And admittedly, this is Hello Dolly, it's not Jesus Christ Superstar, but there is a crossover truth. Jesus, in one of his darkest and nowhere-to-hide parables, invites his listeners to think about alternatives to building ever bigger barns. A person's true life, he says, is not made up of the things he owns, no matter how rich he may be. It's what you do with what you've got that defines how serious we are about walking in Jesus' footsteps. And our stewardship program is asking all our members to review the financial support we give to this Kirk, to Cultskirk. And as mentioned in the stewardship program, for those hit hardest by the present slump in our oil-sponsored economy, that review that we're inviting and asking our members to do, that review may well be the time for deciding to give less. For incomes have changed significantly for some people, and not in a good way. We understand that. Just as we understand that retirement can bring a reduction in income and thus a reduction in what we give away. That's okay. That's understood. But it's also true that working or retired, many of us have a level of affluence that most people in this world can only dream of. There's no running away from that truth either. Our problem is not, can I eat today, but what will I wear today? And that problem is created by an excess of choice, not a poverty of wardrobe. People who are starving tend not to worry too much about what they're wearing. And all I know for sure is that money is power. And that therefore, by relentless, inescapable logic, most, if not all of us here this morning, we are powerful people. And I believe that this church, Cultskirk, has at the core of our life a genuine desire to connect with our parish, to reach out to our people and to offer in that shy, sincere, but reticent way that we Presbyterians do, to offer something of God's love in Christ. And we also have commitments to the National Kirk. And no less important, in almost any given month, we raise money and give it away to everything from medical charities to fair trade to Christian Aid maternity programs in Kenya and Malawi, to Church of Scotland sponsored rebuilding programs for Nepalese families still homeless after all was lost in last year's earthquake, and so on and so on and so on. So I have to laugh or quietly mutter when people mock the Kirk as being inward-looking, irrelevant and out of touch. The truth is that at local, national and international levels, we put our money where our prayers and hymns have been the Sunday before. Our stewardship program invites every one of us to consider how we respond to God's great love for each one of us in Christ, and especially how we respond in the most practical, down-to-earth, grassroots way, financially. Because this church, its life, its pulse beat, its busyness, its dreams, is nothing less than an expression of the kingdom come. And it's up to every one of us to decide whether we will respond with something of the magnificent generosity which heaven has shown to us. Money is power. What will we do with the power given to us? In making that decision May there be glory to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen.